Good Friday afternoon and welcome into Grant and Danny. It's July 25th, 2025. You are listening live to the Fan. Danny is out. He is at the beach for the weekend. Linnell Willingham's in and alongside. I'm Grant Paulson. We will take you up to 6:30 tonight. The Nats are back in action in Minneapolis, a little later start time than normal, playing in the Central Time Zone. So we've got a full 4.5 hours for you on the Fan. Linnell, how are you?
What's up, brother? I'm trying to cool off, get dry after being out there at camp this morning. It was interesting.
Yeah, camp's been fun so far. Today was the first day I've not been out there. I think I chose correctly because it was 100 degrees.
Well, I was about to say, you definitely chose a good day.
That was not why I elected not to go to camp, but it was certainly a nice perk.
For sure.
But having been out there the last 3 days before this, the energy's high. The team is very confident. And that should be expected. They're coming off of an NFC Championship game berth. Last year went as well as anyone could have hoped for, dreamed about, expected. And now you've got Jaden Daniels going into year two after a full offseason. Generally, quarterbacks make pretty big leaps year one to year two. I think most people in the building think they've got a superstar on their hands at QB. And we already heard Adam Peters say he thinks the roster's a lot better.
I think he's right with saying that, too.
If the roster's better, and you were in the NFC Championship game last year, you got a chance to make some noise. Now, you and I both know more talent doesn't mean more wins.
Correct.
With a harder schedule, but you don't need more wins. You can win 10 games, make the playoffs, and still go further than you did last year if you ball out in the postseason.
It's about how you finish. And I think from the 2000s, of the 2000s rosters that they've had, where would you rank this one amongst those teams? I know there were a couple of good teams in the early 2000s, but like this, from a 1 through 53 standpoint in terms of the depth at each position, the offensive line I was talking about with somebody earlier. Think about how we were talking about that group last year. It was the biggest question mark on the team. And now, to me, entering the regular season this year, I can make an argument it's the best position group on the team when you look at the front five and then the depth behind it. So it definitely is an improved group for sure.
This roster's at the top, I would think.
Mm-hmm. Of the 2000s?
Yeah, just because of the quarterback.
Right, yeah.
Because they have not really had a guy that you go into the year projecting could be in the top five in the NFL. And I'm not ready to put that in Sharpie yet.
Me either, by the way. And I know that's not a sexy take around here, but yeah.
Yeah, but it's early.
It's 1 year.
I got to see more. But they've never had that chance before. You know, when Brad Johnson was a Pro Bowler in 1999, coming into the 2000 season, coming off 4,000 passing yards at a time where not everyone had 4,000 passing yards, they were the number two offense in the National Football League. And Stephen Davis had just run for 1,456. Nobody was confusing Brad Johnson wearing number 14 for a top five QB.
Yeah.
And when Cousins was putting up big numbers, that was not the dialogue, nor should it have been. This is the highest ceiling you've been at the most important position. So, yeah, there's no doubt. I guess maybe we disagree. It sounds like a little bit on the rest of the roster and the talent. They are deeper at a lot of positions. Like, they are much better on the offensive line. I don't think they have an elite offensive line by any means. There are other areas where they are better, like at cornerback. I'm not willing to say they're really good at corner. I think they have a chance to be. Is Marshawn Lattimore going to bounce back and be awesome? Then you got a pretty good corner room. I'll tell you who I really like the look of is Trey Amos.
Oof, sticky.
Get off the bus first.
Yeah.
Like, he is long. I like just how he looks in uniform and the way he's performed and played early on in these practices and training camp. I think there's a lot to like about him. But he's a rookie who's never played before.
Boom.
So Lattimore's a question because the last year was a disaster.
Right.
Amos is a question because we've never seen it. San Ristel, I will put the stamp down and say he's about to ball out and have a great year. But he's also probably moving into the nickel, not staying outside. So they're a lot deeper. Like Noah Igbinoghene played a million plays last year.
Mm-hmm.
He's like a depth guy who may not make the roster.
He's your fifth corner. So
it shows you the growth. But that's very, very different, being better, being deeper, than like being awesome.
Right.
And so I think there's a lot of areas, like the D-line, they're different.
Right, but are they better?
I don't even know that they're better, but probably overall, just from a sheer depth standpoint, you lose Allen, you bring in Kinlaw, that's a downgrade. But if you look at the addition of Von Miller and some of the other things that they've done, Dietrich Wise is an example against
the run.
Love
him.
I know they're going to stop the run better. Like, I'm sure of that. I don't think they're as substantially better rushing the passer. But I guess my point is, Linnell, let's say they're better just for the sake of this discussion.
Mm-hmm.
They're not great on the defensive line.
No.
So, like, if you take Jaden Daniels off this roster, what I've said is this is a 7-8 win roster. When you have Jaden Daniels on this roster, now we got a chance to go win 11 football games around these parts. That's kind of how I view it. If you take Jaden Daniels off, it sounds like you think they're a lot better than that.
I think they're like a 9-10 win team. I think the offensive line, I give that group a lot more credit probably than you do right now. I think the athleticism that they have, when you talk about the scheme that they're trying to implement, quick game stuff, pushing the ball down the field, it reminds me, and this is just going to show how terrible my life has been in terms of my fandom here. Remember when Jay was here, that offensive line of like Trent, LaValle, Roulier, you had Morgan at the right tackle and then Brandon. Like, that was considered one of the better groups in the NFL. They were super athletic. I see a lot of similarities with this group, and I love the tackle tandem, and we'll see what happens when Cosme gets back.
The athleticism at tackle is massive.
Yeah.
Off the charts. You're talking about them being able to get out in the space in the short yardage horizontal passing game.
They weren't good at the screen game last year.
They were not, and I think they'll be a lot better.
Yeah.
Tunsil's not a road grader in the running game,
right?
And I think Connerly's going to be a little bit of a project there too, because he's not going to be a mauler right away.
That's my thing. It's like, how much, and I was saying this back in the spring, like, what did he come back looking like in the summer? Because for him, what was his issue at Oregon? And we saw it in the Senior Bowl as well. Play strength. Like, can he drop his butt and anchor against bull rushes?
I try not to hold this against him. He looks 8.
He's baby face.
I mean, like, my son is 5 in December.
Yeah.
He looks like he could come to my kid's birthday party. And, like, he's not going to be one of the kids at the party that's, like, 5,
right?
But he's his older brother. I mean, he does not look old. Now, that doesn't mean he's not strong or whatever,
right?
But also, he's not even running with the first team. Like, I don't think it's a lock that he's going to start in week one. I think what they may very well do is have Andrew Wiley play in week one,
mm-hmm.
and then he works his way in. Maybe they rotate it. You know,
this is just a Dan Quinn exclusive, though. They don't just give the rookies the jobs.
There's no doubt that's so, one of the reasons why this is happening right now. But having just asked people while I was out there the last few days, there's a really good chance that they don't feel like he has to be on the field in week one.
Right. That's a luxury, too.
It is, surely. He'll 100% be starting by the end of the season.
Right.
Is it week 2? Is it week 6? Is it week 11? And if he does start in week 1, you just know he's that good.
Right.
But I guess my point is, I'm not ready to crown that group. Cosme's their best guard, who's not going to be on the field initially. That's another area where everyone kind of, I think, heard Dan Quinn say, like, he's ahead of schedule, and they're like, oh, he's going to play.
Throw a parade, yeah.
I'll bet you a box of donuts that guy's not on the field against the New York Giants.
That's a quick turnaround for an ACL. That's under 8 months.
He got hurt during the playoffs.
Yeah, so it's
tough. We'll see him in October.
Right.
Like, there's no reason to rush that. Why would you? With your early schedule especially. But, again, they're better in that area. I don't know. You're telling me if Marcus Mariota started, they'd win 10 games? I think you're insane. I think that's...
I'd be closer to nine.
I just think that's
a
wild
scale.
Take, yeah.
I think... The one thing we'll see, and we were talking about this before the show, Cliff didn't get a lot of credit for it last year. I think the way that him, Anthony Lynn, and company designed that run game, obviously Jaden being such a massive threat with his legs makes it, you know, just as potent. But Marcus isn't, you know, a terrible runner. And I think what they're able to do up front running the football will help this football team out totally, no matter who the quarterback was. Now, adding Deebo Samuel to that mix makes you a little bit more explosive as well. But I'm not an idiot, GP. I know. If you take Jaden off this team, it is a completely different outfit. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah, I've always kind of, well, always is strong. Last several years, I've broken teams down by phase.
Okay.
So I'm like, you've got a 8-win defense, 12-win offense, 6-win special teams. I'm going to have you at 9 wins or whatever
with the averages.
The mean is, right? And I kind of do that. We talked about this. You had me on like 2 months ago talking Nats, I remember. And I'm like, this is an 82-win team with a 56-win bullpen right now.
You know
what I mean? Like, it is a cinder block pulling this group down underwater. And since then, things have completely gone off the rails.
There's been
a massive explosion of that vehicle.
Yeah.
But when it comes to the Commanders, yeah, I think you've got a 12-win quarterback. And probably an 8-win roster, you know? And
in year two, like,
he's going to lift them.
And in year two to be there, that's not a bad spot to be in, is what I would say.
No, it's not. But they're not there because they've built something sustainable at 8 wins. They're there because they're signing a bunch of old guys for a year to make sure that they're not a 6-win roster, which is fine.
They're going for it.
You're just
going
to have to keep doing that in perpetuity. You either at some point take a step back and get younger, or you're just always looking for the next Von Miller, the next Bobby Wagner. Yeah. And that's an okay way to live if you want to do it that way, especially after Jaden Daniels gets paid.
Right.
It might be 1 year at a time, 2 years at a time for some guys that have either a little baggage or, in Von Miller's case, are, like, you know, situationally used, coming off the bench now, no longer starters. But I wanted to get into this piece that was written on ESPN.com with you, Linnell, where they ranked the top 50 NFL offseason moves. So they went signings, trades, draft picks. So we're just going to call it moves in general.
Okay.
They went 1 through 50, And they actually did have two commanders on the list. In the top five, they had Laremy Tunsil.
Ow, okay.
The big fella starting at left tackle for Washington, number five. So the four moves that they think are bigger than Tunsil.
Mm-hmm.
Not literally, because nothing's bigger than Tunsil.
Right.
But figuratively. Devontae Adams to the Rams, which I don't really get that being number one.
That's interesting.
They must think he's got a lot more tread on the tires than he showed with the Jets.
They're saying that they think he's a better version of Cooper Kupp, is what I would guess. Will they be right on that? We'll see.
Sean McVay is going to make it work.
Yes, of course.
But I just have my doubts about him being the single biggest move of the offseason.
Yeah, I think that's a little off.
Cam Ward drafted to the Titans number two. I totally get that.
Yeah.
2 years ago, C.J. Stroud took the lead by storm.
Yeah.
Last year, it was Jaden Daniels. What's to say it can't be the Miami product this year in Tennessee? Three, they've got Joe Tooney to the Bears. That's ridiculous to me. I like Joe Tooney. But the third biggest move
of
the NFL offseason is an aging veteran guard on a mediocre NFC North team.
I put Rodgers over that if we're going to stay in division.
Yeah, just because of quarterback, you're saying.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because of position.
Number four, biggest move of the offseason. They go Raiders, Ashton Jeanty. Fine with that.
Yeah.
He's going to get touched the ball a bunch. If he strikes up the band as many times as I think he can, if he runs anything like he did in college, Linnell, you just drafted a superstar. That is an organizational game changer. That's the Bijan Robinson effect, the Jahmyr Gibbs effect. So I'm cool with that. And then they've got Laremy Tunsil, five. You don't see another commander come in on this list. I was thinking, well, Debo's got to be here somewhere.
Somewhere, right?
You got to scroll all the way down to 30.
I'm about to say, my finger's getting tired over here, GP. I'm trying to scroll down my phone.
30. Debo Samuel, traded to the Commanders, comes in at 30, and there's nothing else. There's no Josh Connerly in round one. There is no Javon Kinlaw, who they paid like he's about to be a dog at $15 million a year. It's just those two in the top 50. Laremy Tunsil and Debo Samuel. Now, I wonder, I don't think he would have cracked the top 50 for the record, but just based on name value, this was done by Matt Bowen. It came out 2 days ago. But I guess he could have. I wonder if there was any thought to Von Miller, because he's a closer. Like,
yes.
This is a guy that in the fourth quarter was one of the best pass rushers in the league last year, and Washington was one of the best pass rushing teams in stretches in the first half, statistically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They were horrendous in the second half.
Yeah.
They were one of the worst in the fourth quarter. They could not put games away. They couldn't get to the QB. He might be the perfect fit, a nice little puzzle piece. But, look, I understand. If he's a situationally used guy that's going to get a few reps a game. You don't want to put him in the top 50. But they've got rookies like Mike Green, who was drafted by the Ravens at 50. They've got interior linemen I've never heard of in the late 40s. You know what I'm saying? So, like,
not a lot of love for the Debo move. The one move that's not on here that I'm, you know, bullish that it'll end up being a big impact signing for Washington, and I didn't feel this way the entire offseason. It was one of my biggest question marks. Maybe it's after hearing him interview with you all. That Will Harris, boy. I think Will Harris, I got to talk to Jason Simmons, the defensive backs coach, after training camp practice one, and hearing him gush about Will Harris and the mentality that he's going to bring to this defense. And we know Joe Witt, you know, he won us over last year by saying there's a certain way we're going to live, and if you don't abide by that, you can't play with us. So
the
everybody they sign.
Was, I hear it in his voice. The way we live, it's not for everybody.
It's not. So bringing in Will Harris, I think.
By the way, I don't know how true that is. Like, there were games where the way they lived was not for me because it was not particularly good. But I just like his demeanor.
Yes.
He's Dan Quinn, where players are going to want to play for him. He sounds cool when he says things. He's got great catchphrases. I think he's also pretty smart football-wise. And they do have better players at a lot of positions this year to help him and Dan Quinn make sweeter music. So I hope that happens. But to your point on Will Harris, and for people that are casuals that are listening that may not know, I mean, this is the New Orleans Saints product they brought in here after a year in New Orleans. He actually was more a Detroit Lion, frankly.
Right.
He was 5 years in Detroit, including their turnaround when they were one of the best teams in the NFC. He was not a starter in his last year in Detroit, so he rolled out and went to New Orleans. Started every single game there that he was healthy for. He missed four last year. But he came a full-time, more box safety than a free safety. He's kind of a strong safety type.
Yeah.
It's interchangeable now, but he's going to replace Jeremy Chinn. And you're right, when I talk to him, man, he's an easy guy to go, God, I hope he's good because he's awesome.
Right.
He's 29 years old. He's faster than I thought watching him in practice. Like, I don't know what kind of 40 he runs. I don't think that's been a big part of his game.
He moves well.
He does. He's agile. We had the Saints beat guys on after that move.
Okay.
And like one after another, they said, he'll help you thumping in the box. You're not going to want him like playing center field a whole lot.
Right.
And in practice, they've had him in space a bunch.
They have.
And he's actually, there are two specific plays I remember him being in the right spot where he didn't quite make the play. One was like a dropped interception. But I've just liked what I've seen so far. I agree with you. I think he could be better maybe than I anticipated. Now, I will tell you this. I'm just going to go on record. Maybe I'll be wrong. See what you think about this. I think they're going to miss Jeremy Chinn.
100%.
Like, Chinn was very good, and I don't think Will Harris, even if he overachieves, is going to be as good as Chinn was last year. I think that is an area where they will step backwards.
He played 94% of the defensive snaps last year. Talking about Jeremy Chinn, you do not replace someone like that. I remember the hit in the Falcons game where Penix was getting ready to load it up to Hodges, and Chinn dislodges the football. Like, that's what he's here for. I think both of them, though, kind of like you alluded to, don't want him in space a whole bunch. I remember the Titans game last year. If Will Levis had a pulse, Chigakonkwo would have went crazy. So covering the tight end, I wonder how much better Will Harris is with that. He had a couple of plays today where him and Zach Ertz have kind of been, you know, going back and forth. Ertz will get a catch here. Harris will get a PBU here. That safety spot, though, opposite Quan Martin, to me, is one of the bigger question marks with this football team. I wonder what you think about this. They just extended Percy Butler, so congratulations to him. I think he's more of like a special teams war daddy. I think he's the best gunner in the NFL. I don't like him too much in space on the defense, but Jeremy Reeves is interesting to me.
Reeves, all he does is make plays.
So I'm wondering, does he get more run this year now that like the safety spot's a little open? But
yeah. I doubt it, only because like how many years in a row have we had the same conversation?
About him, right? Yeah.
If they wanted to play Jeremy Reeves more, they'd have played Jeremy Reeves more.
For sure.
But he's Chris Rodriguez. Like Chris Rodriguez gets in the game.
Yeah.
There's no drop off from Brian Robinson.
Exactly.
I'd actually tell you, here's the quiet part.
Uh-oh.
I think it gets better.
Oh.
But they don't seem to care that much about any of that.
No.
Like, the fact that the average per carry and the broken tackles and making people miss, all that stuff improves. They're like, go back to the bench.
Yeah.
We'll call you again in 2 weeks.
Water under the bridge.
But Percy Butler played 37% of defensive snaps last year. I'm guessing it'll
too
be something similar to that this year. I agree he's more of a defensive player, but he's faster than Jeremy Reeves. They're both equally probably as physical. They're both bring lumber. But they've got a lot of guys like that, I think, that are better in the box than in space. And frankly, there's probably more safeties in the league that are like that.
Yeah.
So it makes some sense. But I agree, that is a big question mark. But let's set this up this way. So ESPN, in ranking the top 50 biggest moves of the offseason, has two here from the Commanders with Tunsil and Debo. There are others you could go with, including Javon Kinlaw, Josh Connerly. I think that's a two-parter.
Yeah, for sure.
Connerly starts at right tackle. It means Coleman can start at left guard.
Right.
So you theoretically could get better at two positions, which is a really, really big deal. So maybe you throw him into the conversation. There's another guy we have not mentioned who I actually think could be my answer. It's a hipster Paulson take, by the way.
Well, there we go. I'm here for hipster Paulson.
So I want to get to that next, but let's pose this on the phones. Not who do you think is going to have the best season, per se, because if it's not Laremy Tunsil, we probably have issues, or if it's not Debo Samuel, like then there's, what are we talking about?
Yeah.
But who is it most important they got right? Like, if you could take one guy and give him an awesome season, you don't have to worry about it because you just now know that guy's going to play at a Pro Bowl level. Would you give that to Tunsil, Debo, Kinlaw, Connerly? 800-636-1067 is the number. You're listening to Grant and Daniel, and Els hanging out today on The Fan.
The way that we live is not for everybody, okay? It's not, all right? Because we're going to run and put our bodies on people. In a violent manner.
Word I think of for him is for Debo, I think of joy. Like he has it. Like you see it on the practice field, you see it in the meeting rooms. There's an energy that he brings to our team that is, you feel it. And I certainly did right from the beginning.
Dan Quinn talking Debo Samuel. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on The Fan. You can watch us today on the 106.7 The Fan YouTube stream in high definition. Linnell is in for Danny. Of course, you can listen wherever you are, coast to coast, on travel. Somebody was listening yesterday. I just got a message on Instagram from Madrid. They're there a little bit early.
About to say, having a good little vacation.
Yeah, maybe they're out there until the game. I don't know.
Yeah,
they're
scouting the scene.
Exactly. They're the person to ask where you should eat, I guess,
well,
if you're going to see the Commanders and the Dolphins. But if you're listening the old-fashioned way on 106.7 in the car, we appreciate that very much as well. We'll hit the phones in a second. Question for you is, of the moves the Commanders made this offseason, if you could gift one of these players a banner campaign where they outperform all expectations. Who would you choose that to be? Laremy Tunsil at left tackle, protecting Jaden Daniels' blindside. Deebo Samuel as a receiver who they desperately need to make a bunch of plays on offense, especially in a world where Terry McLaurin's late to work.
Well, yeah.
Javon Kinlaw, the big fella up front for a team that was so bad at stopping the run last year. Josh Connerly, who gives you the ability to not only have a quality right tackle, but Brandon Coleman kicking inside the guard maybe helps you upgrade two positions if he can cut the mustard there. This is our poll of the day, presented by Metropolitan Moving and Storage. Go vote on Twitter right now. Local, long distance, residential, commercial, three decades, best-in-class service and experience. Here's my hipster Paulson take. Now, I'm not using him as the answer to the question, for the record. I'm gonna answer that in a second. But a guy we have not talked about who's actually a critical new addition to this football team, who I think will help as much as anybody, Matt Gay.
Wow. Who's been lights out, by the way, in camp.
Kicker Matt Gay is a real NFL kicker. They did not have one last year. Now, it did not blow up in their face to the extent that I thought it was going to.
It almost did. It was about a half an inch away.
Constantly. Doink. Including the doink in the playoffs. Yeah. But how many times, I mean, we could actually look it up, but I think from the start of camp until the end of the season, they went through seven kickers. I'm pretty sure that number's correct. Matt Gay's a grown-up. He's a 31-year-old, legitimate, stud NFL place kicker. He did not have his best year last season. But for back-to-back years with the Rams, kicking on carpet indoors in 21 and 22, he was the most accurate kicker in the league, not named Justin Tucker. Like, this is a legit...
I slept on him.
...good kicker, and I hadn't even thought about it much until I was at practice on day one, where he was drilling kicks. And I was like, ball's different off his foot.
That's what it looks different.
That's what it looks like from 54, when you just have a big-time kicker who can go out there. And the way that they go for fourth downs, a lot of the times those 50 to 55-yarders, you know, it doesn't matter as much. But I think he could lengthen the field.
Right.
You know, people don't talk about this enough, in my opinion, Leno. You see these stats all the time of, like, the percentage that a team gets points or percentage of the time that a drive ends in, like, a kick or a touchdown or whatever. And it's the highest it's ever been right now. Well, part of that is... you start 5 yards further than you've ever started, right? Nowadays, with the rules, specific with the landing the ball in the right area of the field with the new kickoff or just where you start on a touchback, you're one completion away from midfield. And with kickers and the length of these legs now, with a guy like Gay who could be good from, you know, 57 for him was the 47 of 10 years ago.
Which is crazy.
But this is what these guys are when you have a real one, right? You're one completion. Literally, you start it basically the 30-yard line. You're an 18-yard dig route away, and now you need 7 yards to be in field goal range. No wonder why a lot of drives are ending in field goal attempts or points or whatever. If you go for a couple fourth downs, now you're close to the red zone. But you're quite literally like two gains of 7 or more yards away from field goal range, basically, when you run out onto the field with some of these kickers.
Does that make them more conservative on fourth down this year? Because they actually trust the guy. I know we were all giving Dan Quinn his kudos last year for the willingness to go for it on fourth. Was that because he's got onions of steel or because the kicker stunk?
Yes.
Right. So that's,
I actually think it's a great point you just made. You know, I haven't really thought about that. They will go for fewer fourth downs. Number one, stop playing with fire.
Well, yeah.
Because, like, you can't do what they did last year again.
It's unsustainable.
You had the best fourth down year anybody's had.
Ever.
You're not going to do that a second time in a row.
Yeah.
They should be aggressive. You have a cheat code.
Right.
Lamar Jackson and the Ravens went for more fourth downs during a several-year period than anybody ever had. Yeah. They're super analytical. Everyone talked about it being because they love the numbers. It was mostly because you have a cheat code in Lamar Jackson.
Exactly.
And on fourth and a foot, fourth and a yard, fourth and two, I'm doing this read option.
Right.
Good luck defending me. And now Washington has that same cheat code. So, yes, they should 100% go for more fourth downs. But I don't remember what the number was at the end
of
last year.
It was something crazy.
I think they were like 23 of 26. Something like that. I would bet on the under on both conversions and attempts fairly substantially.
Okay.
Like, it would be reasonable.
It'd be a smart bet.
If they, exactly. And the easiest bet ever.
Right.
I think that, like, let's say they go like 14 of 22, you know, 15 of 21 or something.
I don't
something
know if I could take 8 fourth downs being missed, by the way. Well, that's a gut punch. I mean, as a fan, come on.
Every team in the league had to deal with it except one last year, pretty much. Right. You know? But you get the point is, yeah, I do think they'll go for a few less because. Jaden Daniels on fourth and five was a better bet than Zane, whatever your name is.
Yeah.
Zane Gonzalez or
I don't even remember all the sillies we
that would actually be
year.
A fun game.
How many for tickets. How many kickers do we have?
Name that kicker.
Do we have a guy named like Painter? Am I making that up?
No, you're thinking of Curtis Painter, the Ford Colts quarterback.
That's tough.
Do you remember Ramiz Ahmed from training camp?
Did he wear goggles or something like that? Some
no,
wonky?
That's the Georgia kicker, Rodrigo.
Yeah, so I don't even, that just shows you how many kickers we actually went through, because I can't even pinpoint just one and tell you.
But they got a better kicker now, so that's a thing. So what's your answer, though? Well, let's both give our answers and hit the phones. 800-636-1067. You are taking the power to give one of these new guys an awesome season. Tunsil, Debo, Kinlaw, Connerly, who are you using that power on?
So I was going to say Tunsil, but the more I think about it, if Tunsil goes down with injury, you've seen Brandon Coleman at left tackle. He's serviceable. You got away with it for 17 weeks last year, so I wouldn't be, you know, adverse to doing it again. I think the key guy, Javon Kinlaw, dude. Like, they gave him a massive contract when you think about the defensive tackle market and where the position is. It was obviously a big position in need. You needed to be better there. The run defense struggled. Grant, I don't know if you knew this nugget. Like, they gave up the third most yards before contact in the NFL last year, meaning they were getting blown off the football up front. So, obviously, he's supposed to aid that weakness. If he doesn't play well and doesn't make an impact, who's the interior guy that I'm supposed to just go, boom, it's him. He's going to be the reason why the run defense is better. Because you've seen him out in person. I mean, you've covered the NFL for a while. You've been to tons of practices. He is the largest human being I've ever seen in my life. And I put my right hand in the Bible. Like, that's legit.
There's only a couple. It's funny you say that. I was having this exact conversation with someone on the practice field on day one. Dude, for the same reason. Where I was like, my God. Like, I don't even know how a person gets that big.
Yeah.
But there's a couple guys. Do you remember Ty Nsekhe?
Oh, my God. I love me some Ty Nsekhe.
He was huge.
Remember they slid Trenton the guard?
Absolutely. He was so big, though. And another guy, and this was not a guy I covered day to day, but Jonathan Ogden.
Big
you remember
too.
The name?
Yes.
Baltimore Ravens tackle Hall of Famer. Ogden, just in person, standing next to him, is one of the biggest human beings I've ever seen on football field. But yeah, it's a different kind of big with Kinlaw. He's shaped kind of like a refrigerator.
Yeah.
You know, in a good way, though. Like, it's just, he is a wildly
large. We're talking like a
large.
Stainless steel smart refrigerator, you know?
I just had to drop 2,300 on one of those.
Ouch.
Yeah, it was not fun. When to come downstairs, the good thing about it was we had just spent $400 on groceries at Costco and Wegmans.
There you go.
All of that went bad. So that's awesome. That's the best thing about it.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed that. As soon as we went and got more groceries, we had a snafu where my wife thought it wasn't working again, the new one.
Oh, it's tough.
Turns out one of the kids just didn't close something properly.
Okay.
But nothing had gone bad. Enough about my refrigerator. All right, here's my answer. I thought about Kinlaw as well because they got to stop the run. I'm not going to go there. Von Miller, sneaky, could be in this as well. I don't even think we put him in the poll. But what if Von Miller has a great year? Like, if he had 7.5 sacks and finished a couple games with sack fumbles, like,
you know?
That's a big deal. I'm going Debo Samuel, though.
Okay.
I need one more playmaker on offense. I'm ravenous for it. And that's why I went and got Debo. If he's healthy and on the field, they're going to involve him a ton in the screen game. I think he's going to be super effective in that horizontal raid that they like to run.
Yeah.
Especially with this weird Terry situation. I'm very confident he will eventually get to work and probably have an extension to celebrate. But regardless, Debo elevating the passing game outside of just what you get out of McLaurin would be significant. And that also means he's involved in the running game.
Right.
Just him on the field changes everything for their offense. So I guess I would gift health and excellence to Debo over the rest of them. Let's go to the phones. Disco's in Laurel on Grant and Danny. Disco, what's good?
What's up, Disco?
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Good, brother.
You know, I'm going to echo what Linnell said. I think Kinlaw, because here's the thing, and I think Grant earlier in the show, you had talked about this, you know, this running back. If we can't stop the run, it's going to make it a lot tougher on Jaden Daniels than it has to be. They have to be able to stop the run. They have to be able to free up some of these linebackers and for the, you know, some of our young to be able to cover. I don't know the last time we've had a really, really strong run-stuffing defensive tackle, but it has to be Javon Kinlaw. I've seen enough from Cliff Kingsbury to think that he can make lemons out of lemonade. So I think he can take pretty much any of those receivers and, you know, and with Jaden Daniels, but it's got to be Kinlaw.
The stopping of the run is just so important. They were so bad at it last year. And if you want to take health out of the equation, namely with Daniels, but with whoever, and you want to answer the question, what could derail their season?
Yeah.
not being able to slow running games down, namely Saquon Barkley, but
you got twice a year.
Jahmyr Gibbs, when you got to deal with them, whoever it could be, that could be their undoing if they don't fix it. And they knew that. That's why they threw size at the problem. That's why Eddie Goldman's out of retirement for a second time. By the way, you'll hear from him at 5:45 today here on Grant and Danny. That is why they went out and they made the addition of Kinlaw and paid more than they probably should have to bring him in here. They just paid for the size and the strength. By the way, last year they were 28th in the NFL, 4.77 yards per play defending the run. They were 30th in yards per game given up on the ground, 137.5, which with their record, playing from in front and winning a lot of games, means they actually were probably worse than those numbers.
Exactly.
Like, teams had to throw it late in games. And think about what the Lions did that bailed them out, where they just started chucking it around. There were other games like that where not everybody was Atlanta and just rode Bijan Robinson.
And they should have more, by the way, but yeah.
There were a lot of teams that got away from it against them because, by the way, they could pick their poison. It's not like they couldn't throw the ball, too. Gary's in Fairfax.
What's up, Gary?
Gary, you're on Grant and Danny. What's up?
What's up, fellas?
Chilling.
Hey, man.
What's going on, man?
Grant, I didn't know which of my guys you were going to steal, so you took Debo, but definitely Debo. But I'm going to go with Von Miller, man, because, you know, you don't necessarily need to have statistically – the top-ranked defense, because I've heard people say how DK's defenses in Dallas, is a lot of it got done with turnovers, strip sacks, and, you know, getting to the passer. And so just imagine if he gets 8, possibly double-digit sacks, few strip sacks, scooping scores. And so if that guy can even come close to his old self, and just imagine this. Imagine him and Debo having breakout seasons again, man. Imagine what that would be. But you definitely hit on both of the two guys that I was thinking, either Debo, so I went defense, and go with Von Miller, man.
We're thinking alike, Gary, you and I together. Appreciate you, buddy. There's a breaking NFL story that, Linnell, you actually just hit in the update that I want to circle back to. We could just knock it out quick before the end of the hour next. But 100-plus NFL players sold their Super Bowl tickets for more than they got them for, which they're not allowed to do, is illegal. And they're either going to have to pay fines, or if they don't want to do that, they could face minimal suspensions. Let's get into that next on Grant and Danny. You are listening to The Fan. Coming up at 3 o'clock, you will hear from Luke McCaffrey, the second-year wide receiver for the Commanders that needs to make strides for them to improve as a collective at receiver. Although, really what they need at wide receiver right now is 17 to walk through that
door. I think that'd be a good addition.
It's going to happen at some point. It just hasn't yet. We'll get into that later in the show. Grant and Danny. Danny is out today. As you just heard, Linnell Willingham is in. We do have a double play coming your way in 1 hour. At 3:45, and we will go blitzing around the Beltway at 4 o'clock. So this story that broke is pretty wild. This was ESPN.com and their investigative journalists, Don Van Natta and Tisha Thompson. You don't want to see them coming.
No.
I'm going to tell you that right now.
Yeah.
Ask Dan Snyder and those minority owners. I mean, when they're sniffing around, something went wrong, and there's some tomfoolery afoot. They're not just breaking roster moves, okay? Tisha Thompson and Don Van Natta. I think those are three scarier words than Tommy John surgery in baseball. Don Van Natta.
Yeah.
I get a voicemail. Hey, this is Don Van Natta. Can you give me a call back? Immediate anxiety. Oh, no. What did I do? Yeah. And who is mad at me? But at least 100 players face penalty over Super Bowl tickets. So you see that, you go, well, what?
What are they doing?
Roughly half of the NFL's 32 teams, so they're telling us it's around 16 clubs, have players that are facing fines and potentially suspensions for allegedly selling their allotted tickets to this year's Super Bowl above face value in violation with league policies. The way this works is players are able to get tickets to the Super Bowl at a very discounted rate as part of the league. They're then not allowed to turn around with those tickets that they get and sell them for what the secondary market dictates Super Bowl tickets are worth. But 100 or so players decided that they were going to do that anyway, I guess. So they turn around and they get a massive spike, allegedly, and sell their tickets. Under an agreement between the league and the NFLPA, players who violate the rule are going to be fined 1.5 times the face value ticket and lose their allotted tickets to the next two Super Bowls. So the fine, I guess, depending on what they sold it for or what the face value is for the area where they had it, it's not going to be life-changing, I don't think, unless you're...
Depending on who you are.
On a practice squad, maybe, or, you know, 53rd guy on the roster as a rookie or something. And I'm sure there are guys like that that are doing this. Doesn't make a ton of sense if you're making $25 million a year to try to cut a corner and sell a ticket.
Well, I tried to make sense of it. I'm, you know, the acronym king around here. This is BBA, Grant Paulson. Broke Boy Activities. You're in the National Football League. You can't budget your money well enough to where you don't need to break the rules this egregiously. It's embarrassing. So the one thing
I'll bet you, though, real quick, I'll just say this. I'll bet you it's not a need money thing for most guys.
Well, people are just greedy. They want to live their lifestyle. So
you know who wants more money? People with a lot of money.
That's true.
You know, people always say all the time, they're like, Terry's made $42 million the last 3 years. Why does he want $5 million more? Because you know what's awesome? $5 million.
Yeah.
And I don't know how many rich people you know. I know a couple of them.
Mm-hmm.
They're the cheapest people a lot of the times that you know.
That's how it goes.
Like, they're not picking up lunch always. You know what I'm saying?
Like, that's the thing.
They're like, hey, here's my, you know, make sure that you pay me that $11 back from lunch. So I think even if you have good money, if you're making you get a Super Bowl ticket and you're like, damn, these are going for that? All right, cool. Let's sell them.
The other thing is this, too. It's roughly half. So there's 32 teams. Let's just say 16. You think playoff teams are doing this? You think playoff teams, guys on playoff teams are selling their tickets to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I don't think anybody, like, there's no collection of teams that wouldn't be. It's a practice that it's, if you don't think you're going to get caught, it's probably fairly commonplace. I want to know how they caught the 100-plus players. I'm sure this happens every year. I've never heard this story before. Does it have anything to do with the NFLPA investigation that's going on or something getting unearthed?
And this has been out for a while, so they're just now coming to an agreement on what the actual fine and punishment's going to be. I know we can't talk about it on air. I'd love to know which players were doing it. It's very interesting to me. I like to get messy.
Well, it's not even that we can't talk about it. There's no names here.
Well, yes. Sure, I'm talking about making assumptions and things of that nature. That's a dangerous game to play. But it's a crazy story, and as I was getting ready for the update, I kind of had the same reaction you did. I go, 100 players getting fined. Okay, for selling Super Bowl tickets. Well, what? It doesn't make sense to me.
Tickets for the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
On secondary sites, ranged between $2,600 to $3,500 for the cheapest seats. Some of the tickets fetched over $10,000.
So that's why these 100 players are doing it. It's big time money.
It's legit money. Yeah. If you're getting a ticket for a couple $100, you could turn around and send someone for several thousand. That's
tough.
While illegal and not okay, not a bad investment.
And I'd be, if I was one of the players that got punished, one of the pieces of the punishment is that you get no tickets for the next 2 years at the Super Bowl.
Right.
You're missing out on tremendous social opportunities, man. The Super Bowl, you were down there this year.
You can still go to Radio Row. They're not going to keep you off Radio Row.
Okay, well, that's good.
You can still go
to your tickets and we
Playboy
give you.
Party. And, okay. And, you know, you could go hang out with Lil Wayne at his party.
There we go. I knew you were going to pull Lil something.
There's a lot of Lils out there.
There is a lot of Lils.
Yeah, you could go hang out with Gunna.
He's a good time. You know who hung out with Gunna this summer? My BFF.
What? No kidding.
Laramie Tunsil.
Really?
Yes. Him and Gunna hosted a youth camp.
I guess we know which way he voted on the viral 106.7 fan clip.
Well, there we go.
Gunna, or who was the other one?
Young Thug. We don't really care about Thug, though.
Who do I go with?
I'm dying to know your answer.
I'll have to give it more thought. Hopefully I don't forget to answer. I would lose a lot of sleep over this.
I know you would.
800-636-1067 is the number you want to hop in, but we can get back into the Commanders next. Want to check in with one of the folks that's been out there covering practice. Also, we've got that Luke McCaffrey interview for you. Who's more likely to step up this season in year two, him or Ben Sinnott?
That's juicy.
Talk about that on The Fan.